Matthew chapter 1. Now we said a good disciple is a good one. Observer, right? He observes well. He listens well, he observes well. Hallelujah. He observes well. And what does he observe? And one of the things a disciple must observe is how scriptures were written. How did the writers of the New Testament book handle the Old Testament books? Hallelujah. You must know how they handle the Old Testament books. It's very important. You must know, how did they handle the Old Testament books? How did they? Glory to God. How did they handle the Old Testament books? They didn't treat it, like I said, as something that is going away or something that is gone. No, they handled it as scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul said to Timothy, former child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Watch it. You have known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. So when he refers to Holy Scriptures there, he was talking about what? The 39 books, the Old Testament books. So that means the Old Testament books was profitable to making him wise. Do you hear me? Are you getting me? Made him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And I said, all scriptures, verse 16, all scriptures, the first graphic is referring to Genesis down to Malachi again. It says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. So that means Genesis to Malachi is inspired by God. Right? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So when it says for doctrine, meaning it is profitable to be taught. So the Old Testament books are books you teach from. Hallelujah. So in our study on the book of Colossians, we found out that that was what they had to teach about Christ. They taught Christ from the Old Testament books in the book of Acts. They taught salvation. 3,000 people were saved by reading the Old Testament books. So how we handle the Old Testament books, like I said, is very, very important as believers. How we handle the Old Testament books is very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's very important. So we don't handle it anyhow. We don't handle the Old Testament books anyhow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Matthew, look at Matthew is opening up and it says the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We say that phrase, book of the generation, that is Genesis chapter number 5. Amen. Genesis chapter number 5. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. So he wants you to see, he's writing about the story of Jesus and it goes to the Genesis. It goes to the Genesis. Why? It goes to the Genesis not for you to neglect the Genesis. It goes to Genesis so that you will read the Genesis, you read Genesis down to Malachi together with his writings. So they didn't write for you to read their books alone. No. They write for you to read their books together. Amen. And he's writing about the oracles of Jesus. Or he's writing about the incarnation of Jesus. Sorry. I take back the first one. He writes about the incarnation of Jesus and then he writes from Genesis. And remember, during CRC, I told us that Genesis, you will, from Genesis to Malachi, you find any place where it's written there, Jesus, right? But Jesus is the interpretation of what he wrote about. So when he interprets rightly, it will have, you will see Christ as the destination of what they were writing about. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that means, I want to say something now. That means the destination of the 39 book has a Christological destination. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read it together, it has a Christological destination. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And remember, they were not writing Jesus, just to remind you of that, they were not writing Jesus as just a person, they are writing him as both God and man. Hope you've not forgotten that. Right? 100% God, 100% 100% man, but in functionality, he stripped himself of his Godhead. I mean, he stripped himself of his God attribute and became a man in the incarnation. Hallelujah. But yet, he is God. Glory to God. Jesus is God. So that was what we're writing. We're writing for you to see the devil that way in a person. You see that? Hallelujah. In a man. And we said that was what Paul saw. I'm not giving you some of what we've been saying after Sealsi. In fact, before Sealsi. Amen. Glory to God. So they say, we said the Dabba Yahweh as Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 1. He says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. So we find Son of Abraham, Son of David, Son of God at the same. Hallelujah. Which is the seed of God, offspring of God, that were found in the lineage of man. Hallelujah. Come from man. Glory to God. For he will be God. So Mark will open up by using the word beginning. Alchemar. A-R-C-H-E-O-M-A-I. Alchemar. Used for the Genesis. So he's writing about Jesus again. He goes to the Genesis. Genesis down to Malachi. Read it together. So in verse 2 to 3, he shows you how you read. How you read his words. How you read his writings. You go again. So he goes to verses 2, Malachi, and then to Isaiah. Meaning you have to read backwards. You see that? So you read backwards. Amen. Read backwards. So that means you're reading the Old Testament books with the four Gospels. Hallelujah. Two. Stop. I want to ask a question. No. Old Testament books and the four Gospels equals to what? It equals to what? Eh? What is it? Eh? The Old Testament. What is it? Eh? Old Testament. Lord, four Gospels equals to what? Eh? Is it equals to what? Is it Sam? Who said Ephesians? You. Okay, you are correct. Amen. Amen. So you put it the four gospels plus the 39 books will give you both the book of Acts and the Ephesians. Amen. So that means what is taught in the book of Acts, in the 39 books, we saw it there in the book of Colossians now. We saw that what they were teaching is the four gospels in oral form. And they were reading it, right? They said it and then they, as the interpretation of the 39 books. So that's why it says the 39 books plus the four gospels equals to the book of Acts and the Apostles. Amen. Amen. Prescribed for you to see that. So don't mind the mathematics. You understand what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So you go backwards, read backwards. So we get to John. John 1, the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was anything made that was made. He was light. Life is the light of man. Amen. So you use the word beginning again for Genesis, and then it makes you see that the Genesis word is the word that became a flesh. I mean, that became flesh in verse 14. Amen. And it says the word is God. So making you see that Jesus is God. As he's writing about the incarnation, he goes to Genesis. Glory to God. He goes to Genesis. Amen. Amen. So we said the 39 books were the only books. Watch it. Were the only books or the only material that was used in explaining God and his acts in all the earth. That was what they had. That was the only material they had. They couldn't consult any other material. It was only the 39 books. And that's what it should be. The Bible today is the only material, recommended material, to teach about Christ. Any other book that is written, you must have it. So any other Christian book is not to replace the Bible. No, but to rather help you read the Bible. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. No Christian book, no matter how small it is, right? As Kilo said, this is Bible in the summary, it's not. Every Christian material must point your attention back to the Bible. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. The Bible is the only book. The Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is the only book, only material that teaches the oracle of Jesus or the oracles of God. Amen. Every other believer's material that we have will point your attention to the Bible. That's why you have references to the Bible to help you explain and read the Bible well. Hope you hear me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the way they wrote was not to replace the Old Testament books. No, they didn't write snatch their materials to replace the Old Testament books. They wrote for their materials to complement, to read, to help you reading it, to read it well. Amen. Their materials was to aid you so that you read their materials together with the 39 books. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So a question we asked was, or the question we asked is, how were words used? Because words, we say words will have their origin in the 39 books, right? So the New Testament has its context in the 39 books, and the 39 books has its destination in the New Testament and the epistles. So as our words used, we say they will prefigure words. We looked at tabernacle, priesthood, right? We saw what tabernacle is. Right? What is the tabernacle? The, you say the place of worship. No. Okay, okay. Okay, I get that. So what is the tabernacle today? The tabernacle represents the presence of God. Right? Represent the presence of God. Okay, wait a minute. Who is the right thing material? He came to talk without a manager. And who is the usher in charge of this service? Presence of God, or you have to show the presence of God, right? That so, and then they were supposed to come in to the tabernacle, right? The outer part. So that coming in is to place man and God where in one place. Did you see that? When you come to the tabernacle, is to show our union. So Moses was writing heaven and earth, right? Right? Tabernacle is a heaven, God's presence in the earth. Did you see that? God's presence in the earth. And then he now gave the priesthood. The priesthood is to symbolize who? I mean, is to show what? Eh? Okay, the Levite is to show who? God's plan, right? And so who's supposed to be the priest? The Levite or the whole nation of Israel? The whole nation of Israel. Right? So Israel is not a figure of speech for what? Eh? The Yodin Gesu. Moses will prefigure, right? Right? Amen. So he prefigured the tabernacle to be what? God's presence. Right? Right? Okay. God's presence. The Levites to be who? The whole nation of Israel. So that means the Levites were a figure of speech for the whole nation of Israel. I'm going back to what I've taught you all through, this year, since after, I mean, right from understanding the Gospel series 5a. Now, listen and listen well. It shows you've been following me. Now, Israel, now the priesthood was to symbolize the whole nation of Israel, right? Exodus chapter 19 verse 6, right? To be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now, I remember telling you that Israel as a nation is a symbol for what? For believers. Those who will be redeemed. Right? So that is, so what is, so can you see how Peter arrived that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood? He arrived at it because he was able to read Moses backwards. Amen. To see that, oh, there was a promise of the of heaven and earth in Abraham, I mean a promise of the nations, right? In Abraham. Or the promise of heaven and earth right from Genesis. Right?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
He chose Abraham. Right? He told Abraham his seed will be like what? The sand on the seashore, the whole world. Right? Then he now told Abraham as a short seed in Genesis chapter number 15 that his descendant. So I used that word for you there. Look at the word that most that God will use is to also imply that Israel being in Egypt was a symbol. So he chose Israel. Watch it. It will not be Israel as that symbol. Now in Israel, God now says he wants God's plan is for all of them to be a kingdom of priests, right? Right? He now chose priesthood. Did you see that? Another symbol to do what? To offer up sacrifices where? In the tabernacle. Can you see that? So when you read backwards, you will see that God's original plan is heaven and earth. The whole world in his image. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. Therefore, you cannot have the same arrival point as Peter and as John in Revelation where he said we are a kingdom of priests. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. We are what? A kingdom of priests. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God's plan is for his whole children. So Israel is not a nation. Now, I thought I was going to show you that, but I skipped that in Colossians, but I'll find time to talk about it. We started reading Colossians. Colossians, that you would see that God's plan of when Paul is writing about Israel, he's not writing about Israel as a nation. For Israel is the whole world. For Israel are the believers. Amen. For Israel is the believers. And we see it in Paul's writing. Especially in Rome. Amen. To find it. First Israel as the believers. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So making it that Israel as a nation, right? So that means we are priests, right? Right? We said priests, right? So we should be priests God. Right? We should be prefigured. I mean, which is prefigured, rather. So that means we said, in scripture says we are royal priesthood. Right? That means we have to go back again to where? To Moses to see the function of priests. Right? The priesthood. Now, just like that means we stand in the stead of the children of Israel. When they see the priests do what they do. Right? It should tell them what they were supposed to do as a nation because they were the nation of priests. Did you see that? So Moses used Levites, Aaron and his children to tell the children of Israel, this is what, this is your role, right? In God, towards the nations of the earth. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. Glory to God. So say, what are the functions of the priest? We looked at Leviticus chapter 3, Leviticus 6. And Leviticus 10, who said, one is to ensure that the temple, the fire in the temple is burning. You ensure, to ensure the fire in the temple is burning. And we say, how is that done? Prayer, right? Right? Uh-huh. The fire in the temple is burning. You burn the fat. You burn the fat. And there is no strange fire. Sure, and there is no strange fire. Leviticus 10:1. So he said, you burn the fat. And these things are called
sins.
They are called what? Sins. Sins is an instruction and it's called service worship. Worship. sense. So with that, I'm not taking us through what we said. So when he said the fire should keep burning, we say, how is the fire
burning? How do you keep the fire burning?
Prayer is how we keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then on Thursday we went further. Remember what we looked at on Thursday, right? On Thursday, we looked at a few things. We said, how do we burn the fat? The fat is burned in the place of prayer, right? And the fat deals with what? The flesh. The flesh is burning in the place of prayer. We said all that. Did we?
Yes, sir.
The fat is burnt in the place of prayer. Now, we looked at the hazard of offering strange fire. We say offering strange fire means, implies not to allow the fire to go off. You see that? It implies to allow the fire to go off. And at that point, when the fire is off, man is vulnerable to himself. Did you see that? So, we found out that what Nadab and Abihu offered as strange fire was their flesh. This is that their fleshly desires. Did you see that? Amen. So rather than the fire of God burning, it was their fleshly desires that took over. Hallelujah. And we found the same thing also in Samuel's, in Eli's children. In Eli's children. Rather they allowed the fire in the house of, in the temple to go down. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 2 into 3. They allowed the fire to go off. And in chapter 2 verse 22, we saw that they committed atrocities in the temple. Did you see that? Amen. So that means when men don't offer up their, when men are not found praying, when men are not found praying, right, you are vulnerable to your desires. You are vulnerable to self. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Because it is in the place of prayer that will kill the fleshly desires. Our desires are burnt down in the place of prayer. We said all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the prayer is very vital for the believers. Amen. When you ever discover, listen, there is no one, listen to me, everybody look up. We live in a world where there are a whole lot of distractions. There are a lot of things that want to pull you away. Whenever you see that you are picking up new things that are wrong, right? Pray more. Sometimes it's not a function of whether you are not praying. It's that your prayer is not enough. Did you see that? Amen. Sometimes it's that your prayer is not enough. So there's a call to pray more. But I'm praying now. What? Pray more. Amen. That means there's a call to more prayer, a call to more intensity in your prayer life. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. So that is why you have been taught that you're intelligent. Remember, I told us yesterday that there's an intelligence in prayer, right? There's an intelligence in prayer. Prayer intelligence. You should know when to pray more. Hallelujah. Pray more. And I said to us that you're not praying that the desires will die. Just get on praying. Hallelujah. That you are the first recipient of your prayer. You are sure of that. Hallelujah. The more I pray, the more I pray, I am the first recipient. I will be changed. I will be better. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. If you, if others like you, you don't like you. You know you need to pray. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. So we said, when we allow the fire of God go out, we are vulnerable to our desires, and it is a red flag. Hallelujah. Which is a red flag. So you don't stop praying. There should be no instruction. We'll see that shortly. There should be no instruction that, I mean, there should be no instruction for you to stop praying that you should need to. Remember the use of the word yesterday? in Colossae, where Paul say, praying always for you. That word, where you have pantote, P-A-N-T-O-T-E, which means to pray without stopping. A continuous process, do not stop. Pantote, to keep praying. Amen. Amen. So there should be no, there should be no instruction for you to stop praying that you should listen to. Because those instructions, any instruction for you to stop praying is not an instruction from God. Hope you're hearing me. Oh, stop praying. Lord said your prayer is an answer. It's a liar. That person has said that is lying. There's no instruction for you to stop praying. Because the fire must never go out. Hope you're hearing me. Must never go out. Is an internal instruction. Must never go out. Hallelujah. So we said, what does prayer not entail? We saw that. That you don't pray for people to die. We saw, rather, what is God's plan? Ezekiel. Ezekiel. We heard it last week. Ezekiel 18:23. It says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that they should turn from their evil ways and live? So God is saying, he doesn't have pleasure in the wicked to die. It's not God's plan. So that prayer for people to die is not a prayer inspired by God. You see that? Not a prayer inspired by who? By God. Glory to God. Amen. And I showed us on Thursday how that some people, I've heard someone say, he will not use Holy Ghost fire, he will use Holy Ghost thunder. And that one happens fast. That fire might take time. But thunder, Holy Ghost thunder. I wonder where they saw that from. Africa. Amen. Chapter 33, verse 10. Ezekiel 33:10. He says, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. If our transgression and our sins be upon us and we find a way in them, how should we then live? Say to them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Did you see that? But the wicked turn from his ways and live. Did you see that? Did you see that? And the wicked turn from his ways and live. And we look at Luke 9:54, when they rejected Jesus and the disciples said, let's call up fire that it will burn them. And Jesus said, you don't know the kind of spirit that you are of. So Jesus stopped them. No. He said, the Son of Man did not come to kill people. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's prayer is not for people to die. God's prayer is not for people, but that they should turn and live. Prayer is a constant for the believer. The men that God uses. If the men that God uses, they are men that he causes to pray. The men God uses are men of prayer. I told you that. God will use a man that prays. Hallelujah. Are we learning the truth today? Glory to God. God uses men that pray. Glory to God. Look at, and then you must be intelligent to watch what they pray for also. Look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Let's take in from verse 22. On top of verse 20. Oh, okay, 19. He says, for I know him, that he will command his children, talking about Abraham and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, behold, I mean, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sins are very grievous, I'll go down now and see what they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Did you see that? So God said he's going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he say he's going there to destroy it? Did you see it? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, watch it. And I said, when God visits a place, it's to the end that what happens? For salvation. God's visit is for salvation, not for destruction. I've told you that. God's visit is for salvation, not for destruction. So God going to Sodom, was it for salvation or for destruction? Salvation. Amen. And I said, in God's visit, in God's salvation, what will you find? You will find judgment for unbelief. Did you see that? Never forget that. In God's salvation, you will find judgment for unbelief. So when Jesus in John 3 says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Did you see that? Hallelujah. For God came not into the world to condemn the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, following that. But he that believes what does what already? Stands condemned already. So that means in God's salvation, what you will find is what? Condemnation for unbelief. Judgment for unbelief. So God was going through what? Sodom for what? To see, to visit, to see. So that is for salvation. And Abraham, as a man that is working with God, understand that in God's visit, there is destruction for unbelief. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what did he do? He began to pray. Because he himself understands and knows that Sodom and Gomorrah is an evil place. He knows. Then he began to pray. He wasn't praying for God to give Lot more money. He wasn't praying for Lot to have more wealth. God has gone visit Lot. Give me many money. No. What did he pray for Lot for? What did he pray? He prayed for salvation of Sodom. Look at verse 22. And the men turned their faces hence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You see that? And adventure there be 50 righteous men in the city. Will thou destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So that means, imagine, there were now 50 people. What would have happened? God would have stopped the destruction that was coming to Sodom. You know that? We are going to see where someone prayed and a destruction was stopped by God. Amen. Remember, I said to you, you must understand how they wrote in their word, right? I said that to us during revelation of God. I said you must understand how they wrote. How would they write? In their word, there was no difference between the causative verb and the what? Permissive, thank you. Permissive and causative verb. So if, yes, what is a causative verb? I'll explain. I give him bath. Right? I give him bath. You say, pastor slapped him. Right? Right? Now I'm here. Right? That is causative. Now I'm here. And he received bath from someone. Maybe he did something against me and somebody else gave him that bath. Boom! I didn't do anything. I saw it happen. But because he disrespected me and somebody gave him maybe this one that loves her pastor more than any other person in this world, she said it. And he said, you talk about that? Boom! Now, in Israel, right? You should not be said that you don't hear amen because the action was towards me. I did nothing, but though I saw it happen, it will be said, pastor slapped him. But did I touch him? No. Did you see that? But because I saw it happen, it will be said part of Latin. So what will you do? You now read in context to see whether it was actually part of that Latin or someone else. Do you see that? Context will now reveal it. Do you get me? Amen. Amen. So many times, actions that God did not do was said that God did it, because God saw it happen and their action was against God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same thing too, we look at Sodom and Gomorrah. So get that message, that teaching or revelation of God, right? The recent series, listen to it again. I think we did a whole lot of justice to it. Amen. That you shouldn't have issues with Sodom and Gomorrah. So who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Not God. But God saw an impending destruction and came to see, right? Salvation. And then what did Abraham do? Abraham began to pray. Lord, if you find 50 people. Now, let's now read it here. Will it be, will you destroy the place or will you allow destruction? Which one is better used? Will you allow destruction? Did you see that? So will you still allow the destruction to take place? Amen. Amen. And God said, far be it. I mean, that be far from thee to do, there is this verse, in fact, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous and the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be far from thee, shall not judge. Now this is his prayer, this is a prayer, and shall not judge all the earth do right. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare the place for all their sins. Do you see that? Will I spare? That word spare is the word I mean, will I stop evil from happening? To stop something. Hallelujah. I will spare it. Hallelujah. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. For adventure, they shall be. What if, now he answered, what if 5 people are lacking from that 50? He now went back again. Verse 9. And said again. And said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will do it for the 40 sake. He did it up until 10. Amen. That is to say, he kept praying for Sodom. Hallelujah. What was Abraham doing? He was praying for Sodom. He was praying for a nation. Hallelujah. For what? For their salvation. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But God, when they didn't sign up, just Lot and his children, two children and wife, support them. Hallelujah. That was who he found. And then what did he do? Did he kill all of them? He did what? Rescue them. Amen. And as he rescued them, there was destruction in Sodom. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, look at, I read that story recently. Look at what God said to them. He said, come out quickly. Amen.
Amen.
Come out quickly. It's just like when the Corolla car enters under a truck and what it says, Jacob is everybody there and disappear. You don't know what it means. You cannot be praying inside the Corolla car under a truck. And I'm praying, oh Lord, my God, oh Lord. How? Amen. You understand? How could he run? He's by the Holy Ghost. Oh, we know that some people have disappeared from this side. You know that urgency? Shout, 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 shout. That's the spirit of the Lord though. He's not telling you, stay your money. No, he's not leave. No, I'm listening to how God rescued them. Eh? Rescue them. Lord, he told them to leave quickly. Make him leave quickly. If he was the one that was going to send the destruction, he would tell them to allow them go well, comfortably. But he told them to leave quickly. Go, go, go. And I look at him, wow. Amen. Like they are getting somebody out fast so that something will not catch you. Because he wanted to rescue them. Amen. But if they were up to 10, he would have staged the destruction. You see that? Amen. Would have stayed, the destruction would have gone and not touched them at all. In holy. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Glory to God. So he prayed. And what did he pray for? Salvation of men. We're going to see this effect in, we're going to see the our life today, right? Today, and in this ministry that we've received of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 32. Yes, we'll find someone there again. I'm just showing you. Now then, this is Jacob. 32. This is verses 24. Okay, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone there. Okay, verse 23. Verse 22. Now, before that he had prayed earlier in verse 12, but we are not getting there. Verses 11 into 12, and he prayed. God wanted to see his brother. But look at 22. And he rose up in the night and took his two wives and his two women servants and 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Watch it. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over the Amin and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Watch it. And there wrestled a man with him. Wrestled a man with him until in the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his staff, and the hollow of Jacob's staff was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Did you see that? And he said, let me go forth. The day break it. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said, so he, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name, thy purpose, which that shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. As for the priest that had power with God, and as, I mean, as thou had power with God, and has prevailed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first he said, I've seen God face to face. So he said, Jacob wrestled with God. So in our head sometimes, what we have in mind is a ring fight. That is in Fury versus Usyk. Amen. Or Hogan versus Brock Lesnar. So they were fighting. God gave him glory, he beat him. He gave God a duty. Yeah, just have, no. They use the word wrestle there. Now that word wrestle shows a contest.
Amen.
Shows a contest. And it's the word used for prayer. Now when a latter interpreter of Moses was to interpret what happened to Jacob in Hosea. Let's rush quickly to Hosea. Hosea. After Daniel. Find Hosea. Hosea chapter 12. Are you there? Are you there? Are you in Uzziah? We call it Uzziah. Hosea. Okay. Okay, are you with me? Can we read? Verses 2. It says, and the Lord had controversy. Very funny. The Lord had controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob. Not that he will punish. The word punish there is that Hebrew word that means to visit. Do you see that? Amen. It's not to look at what he said next. We know that it's not punished like giving suffering. You have to wait. I will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, will he recompense him? Did you see that? Amen. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by strength he had power with God. Did you see that? Verse 4. He said, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. Hallelujah. He had power over the angel and prevailed. Now, the angel there is God in Genesis. Did you see that? Amen. And prevailed. He wept. Watch it. He wept and made supplication unto him. So that wrestle you saw there is what? Is what? Supplication. Hallelujah. He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even the Lord God of hosts said, the Lord is his memorial. Hallelujah. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Wait on thy God continually. How? The way Jacob waited. Did you see that? How did he wait? Supplication. So the wrestle, I said, Jacob wrestled with God was to show how he prayed. Was prayer. How he prayed. So the word wrestle was used to show it was a physical contact, like his body was involved. His whole thing. Because remember, he sent his people away. So he stayed all night. Begin. Did you hear that? Amen. So begin didn't start yesterday. He stayed all night, and then he prayed. And Uzziah said he made supplication to God. And there's that instruction that we should wait continually. Did you see that? Amen. In that place of prayer. Glory to God. So the name God uses, Amen, given to prayer. Amen, given to prayer. Hallelujah. Given to prayer. We find Moses. Moses, who could read almost in every account in Moses. Listen, we could read. And remember his supplication, what happened to him? His name was changed. Right? So that means God used Jacob. And remember, the prayer was because the name Israel will reflect God's purpose. Right? So that means Jacob's prayer was as regards God's purpose. Jacob was a prophet. Amen. Was a prophet of God. A prophet of God. Was concerning God's purpose. That was why his name that was changed was to reflect God's purpose. Hallelujah. If you get to Moses was given to prayer. You could read prayer almost in every part of Moses. Amen. Whenever he goes up to the mountain was to pray. Amen. We'll just look at a few. Exodus 32. We find one in Exodus 15, but we're not going to get there. We're not going to look at that. And Exodus 19. But let's get to Exodus 15. Okay, let's get Exodus 19 first. Let me just show you something. He went up to prayer. God told him to go and carry Aaron. So, Aaron's robe. Aaron was supposed to come with him. Exodus 19, verse 24. Verse 23, you know, they had that communication. That communication was prayer. But verse 24, and the Lord said unto him, get, and he said to him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. You see that? One who is wrong with him. So he told him to go down and bring Aaron. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Aaron was supposed to go with him to Sinai. Up the mountain. And we said, up the mountain, he was to pray immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In chapter 32, we found Moses on the mountain. Chapter 32. Exodus 32. saw that Moses delayed coming down off the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, Up make us gods, which shall go before us. As for Moses and the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not what is become of him. And Aaron said to him, Break off the golden earrings in their ears, your wife, your children. So they made Aaron make them a golden calf. Why? Aaron was that kind of leader that wasn't giving to prayer. He became vulnerable to self, vulnerable to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He became a man pleaser. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When a man doesn't pray, he will start pleasing men rather than God. What? When you are not living your life for men, some people are like that. Their lives are not being lived for men. What will he think of? Let me not go there. Let me not carry Bible now. If you don't carry Bible, they will now say, you don't want people to live. Come on. They're not living to please men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're not a man pleaser. Oh, call eye service. Some people are not eye service. They're not praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When you've lost the ball, you're not looking at what will men say. What will men say? You're not a man pleaser. Glory to God. Men not even determine what you hear. Glory to God. You are looking too overnight. I mean too... You are too dressed. You don't have to keep paying attention to every detail. Because you want to be accepted by some people. By some person. You are not praying. I'm not saying you shouldn't dress well, but you know you are not praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Your attention is no longer on God's part, but on people. Watch it. Glory to God. They made Aaron. Aaron that saw the power of God. Aaron was with Moses all the while they were in Egypt. He saw what happened to the gods of Egypt. That same Aaron. That same Aaron. That made a god like the gods of Egypt for them. That same Aaron, now say this is the God that delivered you. That same Aaron that saw the power of God. See, let me tell you. When a man is not praying, when a man is not praying, he can do is it unbespeakable? Indespeakable, every despicable thing in the world. He can do it. Hallelujah. He not be surprised. Has he not seen power? He has. Amen. But prayer is what keeps you in the will of God. You see that? Amen. So when you are not praying, you will be out of God's way. And you can do anything. Anything. When a man is not praying, he's trusting the devil. When a man is not praying, he's trusting every other thing that is not God. He's trusting his instinct. He's trusting the when a man is not praying, he has built himself an idol. That's what I'm saying. An idol is not until I go and plant a ganga. No, an idol is not until I go to Shango Shrine. An idol is I'm trusting in something else that is not God. It can be my head. It can be my intelligence. Amen. It can be AI. I know that just go around trusting AI. Amen. Trusting your phone, trusting Google. I'm not praying. Amen. I'm not praying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know these days people now say, ask Google. Believer. This is what you need to wait on the Lord. You're asking Google. So Google is not the Holy Ghost. Look at us, go ahead. So, when they made a golden image, God was angry in verse 10. Verse 10. Chapter 2, 10. Are you there? He said, now leave me alone. That's my rot. Now remember, the rot of God, okay, we've not gotten there in our study, so let's just do it in our study on the revelation of God. So my rot, by studying what the rot of God is, right? Right? Okay. So let's just continue. You are saying yes, sir, because you've been in church for a while. My rot may wax hot against them. So his rot there is not okay, let's just continue. Let's put it like that. Amen. We'll grow together to see what it means tomorrow. Tomorrow can be next 2 years, next 4 years. But we'll grow to see. Right? Right? Amen. I love you guys. For understanding. I know I was old and that I may consume them. Say, God, no, it's actually not God. And I will make thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does thou rot wax hot against this people, against thy people? Now, when you read further, I mean, we're going to read it, but when you read further into chapter 33, we'll get to 33. Moses' prayer continues to chapter 33. Now, when you get there, you notice that God will not offer them, you know what? I won't go with you, my presence will go with you. Right? Right? And Moses understood what it means. Moses said, no, Lord, if you will not go with us, we are not going. Did you see that? That is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is absence of God. Did you see that? The absence of God. That is the wrath of God. And that is man in darkness. That is Genesis 1-2. That is which is disclosure. So Moses has told you from right from Genesis 1, right from Genesis 1, that the absence of God, which is the wrath of God, he calls it tohu-abohu, destruction. Right? You can place destruction there, you can place calamity there, you can place disorder there. Hallelujah. Tohu-abohu. So Moses understood, he said, Lord, we will not go if you are not going with us. Did that, so he began to pray again. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you are following me. So, that I may consume them. So that I may consume them is also a permissive word that is now put as a what? Causative word. Thinking God is the one to consume them. And Moses saw the Lord and said, why does thy rot wax hot? And the people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them with from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham. This is prayer. Say, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and have said unto them, I will multiply your seed. He demands God of his word. Or it's not a God for God, right? But he prayed and said, this is your will in the earth. Did you do that? Amen. This is your will in the earth. I multiply your seed like the stars of the heaven and all the land that I've spoken will I give to your seed and to the and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Amen. The Lord repented of his evil, which he thought to do to his people. Now, when he said the Lord repented of his evil, that means what happened that the Lord stayed evil. Hallelujah. He stayed evil away, so evil wouldn't happen to them. Hallelujah. The Lord stayed evil away. Stayed evil away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because automatically what they've done was away from God, God's wrath away from God, right? Darkness, and they are vulnerable to what? Any and everything from the devil. So God said even from there was to be that God didn't allow it to happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that shows God's mercy. God forgave them. That's what it means. Amen. God's mercy. Glory to God. So Moses prayed. Right? Was that prayer concerning God's will in the earth? Was it concerning God's will in the earth? Did you not read it? Is it God's will? That's God's will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 33. Again, And the Lord spoke to Moses and says, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he thought again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou seest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found favor in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider the nation, that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known? For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, now show me thy glory. You sure? All that. So when he said, show me thy glory to God, it was in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what you need to see is the fact that the men God used, he does what? He calls them to pray. They are men given to prayer. Amen. Like I said to us, God will trust his will on the earth to a man that prays than to a man that says he knows the word. Amen. God will trust his will to a man that prays. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see one more. Daniel 6. Okay, before we go to Daniel 6, let's rush to Daniel 9. He said, the first year of Darius, the son of Arsus, the seed of the Medes, which was made the king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he would accomplish 70 years in the dissolution of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. Amen. Then he read. Amen. So he read by the books. He read the book of Jeremiah. Did you do that? Amen. He read the scriptures and he saw that there should be deliverance for the children of Israel. But it was not happening. Hallelujah. So he began to pray. So that means what he prayed was according to scripture. Amen. So, like we said yesterday, prayer is according to scripture. When I pick up your prayer points, when I pick up your prayer focus, amen. You know, most of the people, I don't like to use prayer points. When I pick up your prayer focus, I should be able to teach doctrine with it. Hallelujah. Amen. When I pick up your prayer focus, is it according to scripture? Glory to God. Glory to God. Your prayer focus must be according to scripture. Your prayer points must be according to scripture. That means I should be able to teach doctrine from what you have. From what you have as prayer focus. I should be able to teach doctrine. It must be according to scripture, just like Daniel. Daniel prayed according to the books, according to scriptures. Hallelujah. So prayer point, I say that is the intelligence of prayer. You must pray according to the word. There is praying according to the word. Praying what? According to the word. According to the word. Glory to God. Praying according to the word. Amen. We'll see all that. That should be on Thursday. And on Sunday next week as we round up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel 6. Let's get back to Daniel 6. Alright, so they plotted against Daniel. And they made the king to make a decree. They made the king make a decree that nobody should pray. Amen. It was a decree. Look at it from verse 4. And the president and the prince sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, and they could find no occasion, no fault. Now that was why they said an excellent spirit was found in him, that is, everything he does was, you couldn't fault him. Amen. It was not Holy Ghost. Amen. Excellent spirit used to show he was excellent. It was seen in his attitude. Amen. Amen. An excellent spirit was found in him. They couldn't fault him. They found ways to look for a loophole. They could. So? But as far as he was faithful, never was there any error of what was found in him. Then this man, then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except to find it against him concerning the law of his God. Did you see that? Amen. So they said, we can't find it, but except they know he's a man of God. Amen. They know he's a child of God. Do people know you're a child of God when you sleep? Do people know you're a child of God? Do people know you're a man of God when you sleep? Glory to God. Do people know? They've never heard you. You've never preached to them. They know that I'm not a man of God. I'm just a church member. As long as you're born again, you're a man of God. They say, I'm a woman of God. He's a man of God. Amen. You're going to be a man of God. You are God's man on the mission. Say, I'm God's man on the mission.
God's man on the mission.
Say, I'm God's man on the mission.
God's man on the mission.
I say God's man, there's no say I'm God's woman. Say I'm God's man on a mission.
I'm God's man on a mission.
Ah, Pastor, it's God, not patriarchy. Stay there. Amen. I'm God's man. I'm God's woman. Sons of audacity, daughters of audacity. Amen. Amen. President, daughters of audacity, ministry, really a fried chicken. And do so. And some brothers were secretly eating it at block C5 to attend. And today we are accusing people of two meats. But every daughter of audacity things was going there first. Man of God, this one will make for daughter of audacity. Will you test it? Was going there. The people did not know. If you go for the block of C5, when you receive NAVDAC approval, son approval. Then you don't bring it to the general congregation. And they will make you cheat. Who has tasted it? But you are concerned about those who are bringing cooler. Yours was not cooler. Yours was house to house news. Amen. So, man of God, take away the love of wood in your hand. First. But we know, and we're talking fast. Let's continue. You get what I'm talking about for this? God bless your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm saying is that there was somebody here who was president of Daughters of Audacity under the administration of a pastor. And they were going to show the person chinchin. Chinchin, you know? Cake. If it be of the Holy Ghost. The reason there was that when Allah wanted to eat on them, he did not man drink malt and jambu. See, I say, how is Pastor placing all these things together? You don't know who I'm talking about. You don't know. You know, right? Amen? You don't know? I'm the president that gave people jam donuts and malt. He's here now. He's the president of jam donuts. Amen. Let's continue. Glory to God. Amen. So, he said, let's found a fault from the law of this God. So that means they knew he was a child of God. They knew he's a man of God. So what did they find fault? Then the president and the priest assembled together to the king and said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the councilors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall make petition to any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Did you see that? They just means they knew Daniel was a man of prayer. Did you see that? So where can we find fault? Prayer. Amen. They knew that sometimes they'll just see him walking on the road, back and back. Sometimes they'll find him, shut himself, and they'll say, they heard it. They say, this man is always praying. Amen. They say, this man is always praying. This guy is always praying. Let's find fault. This is that. So they knew he was given to prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the prophet. Glory to God. What God's plan? All his children be what? Prophets. Be priests. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wants his children praying. It's worship. Prayer is worship. Prayer is service. Amen. Amen. If your prayer life only ends in church, you are not serious. If your prayer life only ends when we pray in church on Sunday and on Thursday, and then you are not a serious believer. You must have a prayer life. Hallelujah. You must have a prayer life. When we pray together, for you to catch that prayer fire, you go home, you continue praying. Hallelujah. We'll come together, we'll pray again. We'll go home, you continue praying. Hallelujah. So that means what our corporate prayer will produce is a prayer life for you. You must have a prayer life. No matter how tight your day is, see, you can be so busy, like busy can be, but you know what? Don't allow your business to take away your prayer life. Don't be angry. Find occasions to pray. When I'm in front of you, not 2 minutes prayer. They are taking the time. No. No. You throw away the watch. I want to pray. Every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in the church, we are instructed. We are instructed from God's word. And that is instruction to us. Have a prayer life. If you don't have one. Be serious about prayer. Amen. The reason why you find some people, some folks who are believers, their life go up and down, go here, is because many times, they are not given to prayer. Many times, they are not praying enough. They're not praying enough. Hallelujah. They're not praying enough. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. 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 Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul would say, pray always. Always. Pam to tea. Pray always. In chapter 4 of Colossians, he said, continue in prayer. Continue. So the believer has a forever instruction towards prayer. You keep praying, praying, praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How is your prayer life? It's a question I'm asking. Ritual. How is your prayer life? Where is your prayer life? You know what I'm talking to you, I'm also ministering to myself. How is your prayer life? Where is your prayer life? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You get on today. It's time to look at it again. It's you honoring God when you sit down to plan your prayer life. You honor, that means you are taking it important. You are planning it. This week, for those of you who care to use your phone, carry your alarm as you get home. Sit down Monday to Sunday. Right? Next week Sunday, plan it. Minimum 1 hour. Aside the times you pray in church. Pray, pray, pray. Build a prayer life. Amen. Sometimes you can take a walk. I do that also. Just take a walk. Sometimes I'll take a walk I'll pray, take a walk through. So when I sit at this place, I know places where I'm like, I shout in prayer. I know where I walk through. I just get to that place and I'll stay there and I'll pray. Amen. Amen. Because many times, because we're going to see that in Jesus. Because many times, we stay in places. For us at the church, we don't have our own residence, right? Right? And we don't have access every day. And I would say, come to church here to pray. We want to have a facility that will have 100% access to everything. All your prayer meetings will be holding in your different places, holding in the venue. Amen. And it will be open for believers, for brethren to come and pray. Amen. Anywhere that happens, we have places where we go to pray at a PC, but also at home. If you think maybe if you raise your voice too much to pray at home, you might disturb the neighborhood. Take a walk. Just take a walk. But then within this map, look. Before you walk from here, from this church venue, or let me just say from Ogoloko, to Bissam and come back, 45 minutes is gone. As you say, job, you walk and pray. Amen. Go to God. Just walk. Walk during the daytime. Don't go and walk at night. So there are some dark spots. When you walk at night. Amen. Amen. Walk at daytime. Walk and pray. Pray under your breath. Get to places where I know where I can get to. I don't know, I can also, sometimes I walk
down to this land. Motivate you outside God's word to pray. Instruction is not what you look for motivation for to do.
Instruction is instruction. They tell you, go and bring that up. They're not looking for instruction. Mobilize me. Mobilize you. What are you, a government worker? Amen. Amen. So we have an instruction to pray. It's an instruction. So what do you do? You don't wait for anything to motivate you. Amen. God's word, God's instruction. Instruction is not what you look for something to explain. Instruction is instruction. And what you do for instruction is obey. You do what? You obey instruction. Fire must not go down. And the fire, it will not go down in the place of prayer. Therefore, I have to pray. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have to do what? Pray. It must not go down, so I'm praying. So, and you are sitting down. And I have not prayed today. And you want to give yourself an excuse. Alarm. You set alarm that you are going out by 6. And you see that. Let me just do 5 minutes. No, stand up. Just remember, it's an instruction. Fire must not go down. Stand up. Stop it. Amen. That fire must not go down. Amen. Nothing is as important as to a believer in this world than prayer. As in, nothing else you do outside prayer is as important as prayer. Prayer is important. What if your job is important than prayer? What if your job? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So take those time to pray. And aside that, you can also have time too when you are just studying, you are praying, you are doing other things and praying, but you must give that time, minimum of an hour, to pray. And how you find a place to pray at home, right? Then, rest of us, we're still at our temple days, we go to the Sunday school building of now Protestant Church. Right? Thank God for that then. We'll go there to pray. So then you can find a school, maybe a public school. Right? Just talk to, you can also talk to maybe those who are different. But we are going to discuss that. Let's look for a school around so that in the evening time brethren can just walk in to pray. Just to pray. Amen. Just walk in to pray. Not private school, but private want to listen for money. So somewhere. People can just stay. The public schools, they to pray. Amen. Just come in and pray. Glory to God. Let's find it. Prayer is very vital. Amen. If you can't get to school, you can't get a place, take a walk. Take a walk and pray. Glory to God. Just take a walk and pray. Are you going to do that this week? Are you going to do that this week?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Say the fire will never go down. It will never go down. Let's read up. Let's round up this. Verses, where are we? Verse 7. And all the prisoners, okay? Now verse 8. And the king, now okay, you submit the decree and sign the letter. So they did it. But verse 10. Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Now when Daniel knew that it was signed, he went into his house. He didn't say, hey, they said we shouldn't pray. Hey, they came to warn us in Mama Kubi's house. Hey, they said they'll take us to top rooms. Let's not pray. Amen. Amen. Then we began to use man to block the voice that doesn't get up over what's happening. Amen. So without praying for people that begin to hear their letter, say, please. Let's just pray. Amen. Let's just pray. As long as I'm not stopping the prayer. Amen. Amen. Go, you're going to go. Oh, let's have. Let's pray. No, no, no. So he knew, he said, ah! He knew it was the sign and went into his house. And opened his windows! Amen? Opened his window and knelt down. I mean, all those windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day. Did you see that? He didn't stop. In other words, doing 3 times a day. Amen. And pray and think, give thanks before this God has revealed a fourth time. So the instruction not to pray didn't stop him from praying. He knew that the person that will fall praying will be thrown into the dens of lions. He knew. Amen. But the instructions of God is more mightier than any instructions in this life, no matter the grievous effect it will have in the natural. Amen. You know, you will have thought of the lion. Say, hey! Lions catch me inside there. Right? They will tear the boy. Look, the instruction of God that the fire must not be put out. Must know what? Important. Than any other thing. Hallelujah. The instruction of God is more important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The instructions of God is more important. So he prayed. Did you see that? Daniel had a prayer life. You can't be a man that want the Lord to use you. You think, use me, Lord, to save the whole world. And you're not praying. You just like melody. You just like melody. Because use me, Lord. How do you want God to use you? You make yourself available for God to use in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. So as we see, by Thursday, we see even the same thing in Christ Jesus, our Savior, who being God, showed us that what is important is to be in God's will 24 hours of the day is prayer. Prayer. Jesus was given to prayer. Amen. Amen. Mark 1:35 was praying. Mark 14:23 was praying. Luke 1:23 was praying. Luke 6 was praying. Given to prayer. We want to see all that. Given to prayer. So I said Mark 14. It's actually Matthew 14:23. Amen. Was given to prayer. And praying. Even when he was going to die. Even while on the cross, he prayed. He was going to the cross, he's praying. On the cross, he's praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that means difficult situation is not the time to stop praying. Good situations at night is not the time to stop praying. So we will pray only when it's a difficult situation. Whether difficult or any situation, prayer is for all seasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you want God to use you? Right? We want God to use us, right? Right? Say, I want to be mightily used of God. Do you believe that? Say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. God is going to use the man that prays. So that song, that prayer, that that desire to be mightily used of God, the desire that was accompanied with prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. When you pray for men. Amen. Pray for men. We're going to get into what the believer's prayer point should be by Sunday next week. But by Thursday we'll see the instructions and how men obey that instruction. By Sunday as we round up, we'll see what the believer, we'll get looking at it from Thursday, what the instruction should be. And as we get to round up by next week's Sunday, getting prepared for prayer retreat. The week of prayer retreats, which is on the 27th of June, we're supposed to be on a Thursday, we will not have meeting service. We're getting prepared for prayer retreats that will start on Friday to 8th. We should start in the afternoon. So I'll give us more details about that in the coming days. Glory. Let's go on our feet. Is there any questions?